Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Santos, and this is Bigger, Better World from International Living. In this podcast series, we introduce you to a bigger world full of communities that are safe, welcoming, beautiful, and largely undiscovered. A better world, a friendly, warm, great value world where you can live richer, travel more, invest for profit, and enjoy a better life. So let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Bigger, Better World. Today, we're going to be talking about Lyon, France's third largest city. Located in southeastern France, it has attracted expats with its natural beauty, old-world charm, and, of course, its cuisine. In a country known for its food, Lyon is known by most as the place to go for the absolute best culinary experiences. Here, returning to talk to us once again, is International Living's France correspondent, Tula Rampont. She'll be tantalizing us as we discuss her feature article in the August 2023 edition of International Living magazine, French Cuisine and Bonhomie, an expat's love letter to Lyon. Tula, welcome back to Bigger, Better World.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, last we talked to you was about the Provence area.
Mm-hmm.
And your feature article in this month's International Living is about the city of Lyon. Can you give us a little background about it? You know, where it is. I know it's at the confluence of two rivers.
Yeah, it's kind of what people think of as the just gateway to really the southeastern corner of France. So a lot of people talking about when they pass through Lyon, then they're heading like further south. So it's got a mix of this bit of a laid back compared to Paris kind of vibe, but not as like south. So it's nice because it gives it very comfortable feeling. And as I mentioned, it's at the confluence of the two rivers and really nice transportation system, easy to access. I came over on the train from Toulon, and it's been a long time since I've had such a pleasant train ride. I have to say, just to throw it out there, because I thought it was interesting, I went round trip first class because it was just a really small difference budget-wise for 99 euros. So I just thought that was great because it was about 2 hours to get there. And some people can, you know, continue on and go to Paris, which would be another few hours. And as I mentioned in the article, it's quite a central hub for traveling around Western Europe. And that's what really the expats I talked to mentioned as one of the main motivators for moving there. Historically, it was the capital of Gaul during the Roman Empire. And a lot of the sites are centered, obviously, around that. And they're still quite tied to that aspect. And it's very much highlighted when you go and do any kind of tours around the city, or if you have like a guide with you. So it's really divided into these two parts. On the, you know, the old Roman sites are high up on the Fauvrière, what they call a hill, and there's a nice basilica up there as well, and it was just this strategic point at the time. So it's very high up and overlooking the more modern, more current part of Lyon, meaning even since the Renaissance, which we'd be talking about modern, since we're talking about Roman times. So that was the really first settlement of Lyon, and it has a very fascinating history, which you could spend just even like a whole, you know, weekend or longer just diving into that part of Lyon. And coming down the hill, you have the Vieux Lyon, which is more getting into the Renaissance period. And these are the really brightly colored village homes that were actually restored and meant to look like Italy. So they weren't brightly colored before. And there's a whole restoration movement because the Vieux Lyon was in a bit of danger of being practically like torn down, and the people came in and they were able to restore it. And it's got these really bright colors that will remind you of perhaps like traveling in Tuscany or Florence. And then when you're crossing over the river, which is going to take you to what's called the Presqu'île, which is the peninsula. And I think it's about a mile and a half wide. Yeah, that sounds right. I gotta look back at the article. And then you're going into kind of a neoclassical period. So it's got just many, many layers to the history of Lyon and also how it became a really center of influence and power due to the silk workers. And then it was the banking, and, you know, you just learn so much of the history of Lyon. And then you've got a whole other just living the day-to-day life there, which is just very nice lifestyle centered around. They've got a commerce, obviously. It's, you know, it's a working city, but you don't really feel the rush of a bigger city. Lyon just did not feel like a bigger city to me. It felt like a collection of smaller neighborhoods with, you know, each kind of having a story to tell, and obviously centered around this whole gastronomy and being the capital, the gastronomic capital of France.
Yeah, I guess you got over 2,000 years of architecture and history kind of layered across the town there.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I was surprised when I looked up some information on it. One of the things that it's currently known for also is a center for development of video games.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Lyon is really dynamic. And where I'm at in the south of France, you know, the sectors are heavily focused on tourism. And it was nice to be really in a place with all of these different industries and, you know, meeting some people, even some American expats who, you know, have been at one point or another, either come with spouses or, you know, were able to get transferred over to the companies themselves. So yeah, there's a lot of industry in Lyon, and it's just really a hub for, you know, different types of commerce in France.
Yeah, you mentioned in your article that the people of Lyon also are not really your stereotypical snobbish French.
No, not at all. It was a pleasant surprise. You know, the French get a bad rap. And I mean, I always say they're just a bit like standoffish. And I'm going to hopefully use this at some point. One of the expats I talked to had a really good quote about the French and said he thought the French were like cats. You had to let them come to you, which I just loved. Because nobody was fussed about it. Nobody was bothered. You know, they were just making, you know, French friends slowly. But being the sort of kind of international destination, one for food, of course, and you've got this whole historical background, you know, it's a lot of tourists in Lyon. I mean, the weekend I went, as I wrote about, is a really busy travel weekend in France. And, you know, it's kind of rubbing elbows with like Spanish and, you know, Italians. And some of the sites I went to, if you went a bit later, were quite crowded. And I really was so impressed. I mean, the hospitality, there was a lot, just smiles, and you didn't feel like they were overwhelmed or had any kind of bias against, you know, all these visitors and, or, you know, I kind of been there, done that, which you can get in some places in France. It's such a popular place to visit that, you know, even with among other French people, you might be in some kind of resort city on French Riviera. And, you know, these people kind of like over the number of tourists, not always, you know, I'm there's a lot of welcoming places as well. I witnessed that or experienced that at all, even with the younger people. I thought that was great. You know, I went to the Halle de Boucous, which is like the covered food market, which is, you know, the kind of the place to be if you want to experience the gourmet culture of the city. And, you know, you're like young ladies in their 20s helping me. And, you know, I'm kind of speaking in my broken French, and they just took time out. And it was just a very pleasant experience. It's one of the few French cities that I felt that welcome, like right off the bat.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that market. Was it the Halle de Lyon, Paul Bocuse?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because you wrote that you returned to it four times during your stay there, so yeah. I had a feeling it was something special.
Yeah, I would have gone back more. I think I would maybe just go back to the market. It's really, really nice. And again, unpretentious. Just, you wouldn't really think that. I don't know. I mean, I you know, I'm fortunate to go maybe once a year to Paris. And I'm not saying Paris is pretentious, but it's a bigger, you know, it's a big city. It's the capital. Yeah. And, you know, you're not going to get that kind of warmth and feeling in every place you go to in Paris. And it kind of just felt like going to the corner grocery store on a larger scale. And, you know, you have all of these specialty products from like their local kind of salami and charcuterie. So you had all of the pastry section. I didn't even really dive in too much to their specialties that were sold there. There's like a pink, like rose colored praline tart. There was a whole section just for their kind of local sweets and candies. You have like fresh Italian stuff. You had like ravioli, you know, of every kind of shape, color, and dimension. Yeah. You had these, you know, you got the bakeries, of course. And the one thing I didn't mention, I mean, you know, I regret not putting in the article is Leon is also really good on, just as an aside, on food allergies. So which is not a typical thing to find all over. They're very kind of forward and advanced compared to some of the places in France with different kind of like food. Like if you're vegan or, you know, but there's always something available. And mm-hmm. So the thing that I really noted I took notice of in the food hall was the bakery had a couple different types of fresh baked gluten-free fruit. So it was just this whole panoply of everything under the sun that you can imagine. You could just stand in front of one of the deli cases for hours. I must have taken like, I don't know, a couple hundred photos because, you know, these deli cases, you can pick up a stuffed lobster tail, you know, you can make a whole, you know, gourmet picnic. And then there was a holiday when it's going to be a bank holiday. You can go around and get your bread at the bakery and go to the deli case. And then I went and picked up a couple of goat cheeses, you know, the ones that are local. And then you've got like fresh prepared salads. Of course, you're going to pick up, you know, like a pastry for dessert. And you can go and make your whole picnic out of it. And then people are coming, you know, after work and doing the same thing. And there's a what they call a caviste. So there's a wine merchant there. They also had a couple specialty shops of, you know, macarons. And so everybody is in a stand. And of course, I didn't mention like the fresh produce too and vegetables, and each stand is, you know, more beautiful than the next. So it's a real experience. And then, you know, there's a little kind of walk-up counter cafes as well, and a couple small restaurants. There's another place that does kind of French style empanadas, which they call chausson, which is, well, yeah, I agree. And they had every flavor under the sun. They had like a Savoyard, which is in the French Alps, cheese filled one with potatoes and ham. And so it honestly is just a heaven. Yeah. If you like food, I mean, it's really the place to go.
Yeah. Take this as a covered market.
Yeah, it's a covered market. And I went back early and just kind of got some stuff for breakfast sometimes. And, you know, you can go and some people go and have lunch there. I have to say one thing that I didn't try, and I have to say I'm just not brave enough to try, but I have never seen it anywhere. And this is going to be very stereotypical, but it was just, I've never seen it anywhere in France. They had frog's legs. So they had a stand dedicated to just frog's legs, which is not, I think, an American thing. Mm-hmm. But just to say the cultural difference of what you would find there, and not everybody's, you know, maybe as like culinarily adventurous. I'm not myself, but you just have such a diversity of places, and it's just visually beautiful, you know, as well. So you can eat there. There's a, you know, and there's also seafood places, or you can walk up and get, you know, a platter of oysters if you like and have it with a nice like sparkling wine. You could make a kind of a whole trip out of the food, the covered market.
Yeah. Speaking of frog legs, I noticed in a trip to France myself, I was a little surprised in the grocery store that they were proudly advertising a special on ground horse meat.
Oh yeah. Somebody asked me about that the other day. That was a thing. You don't find it as often. You know, somebody asked me about that the other day. It's quite rare. So that might be going back. I'm not sure, but the way the food evolved in Lyon was that these, you know, mothers of Lyon is called, were cooking for a lot of working class folks and really trying to stretch the budget. So they used a lot of not often used parts of the animal. And so that's kind of evolved.
Well, actually, you brought up something that was in one of the two breakout pieces on your feature story here. Talking about the culinary embrace of the Lyonnaise bouchon.
Yes.
You brought up the story of les mères there. Women that actually kind of were the basis for this culinary tradition.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the places you mentioned had silk weaver's brain on the menu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The gist of it was that they couldn't afford the brain, so they used cheese instead.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I have to say I'd prefer cheese to brain myself.
Yeah, sure. So I didn't put in the article, but I did order it and it is a protein punch. The waiter, when I asked him about it, I thought, well, I should try this. This is, because even the tour guides talk about it. And that's how I learned, the kind of the background of it. They explain about the silk workers and, what they were, could spend and how this kind of, evolved. And now that it's been modernized and whatnot. So there were some things that, again, with my American palate, I wasn't as adventurous, with like a pate or something like that. But I said, well, I'll try this because it's cheese. And the waiter actually told me, like, are you sure about that? And I said, yes. And and it's served right before dessert. I can only have like two or three spoonfuls of it. And it is a really thick creamed cheese. And it is full of herbs and some slivered onions, which could maybe work. Mm-hmm. But I got it. Like, I got it. You couldn't, it really was like this protein punch. So it makes the whole, the link makes sense. And again, it's probably something people aren't ordering all the time, but this idea of traditions, which is obviously very strong in France, traditions in general, and then traditions around food are taken to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. And, doing some research on the Bouchon, it's an institution. And you can't talk about Lyon without talking about the Bouchon. And then I would tell other French people, like, I'm going to go, or I went when I came back, and everybody was like, oh, the Bouchon. And you really get it when you're there. There's these, things on some of these menus that have been around for decades. And as I mentioned, that they have, changed them or modernized or upgraded, but some of the things from, back in the day are still there. And a lot of people are go in for those dishes. And then a lot of people go for like the modern touch.
I would imagine their history of being kind of a crossroads, having a lot of different people, a lot of diversity and cultures coming through, mm-hmm. there probably has a lot to do with that cuisine. So it seems like when cultures mix, that's when you get some of the most interesting foods.
Yes, for sure. And then, just the food experiences there. What I really loved, it was so accessible. Sometimes we were talking about French food, you have these like visions of somebody in like a waiter, standing with a folded napkin over his arm and, with a small thin little mustache or something. And, kind of like the gatekeeper and the chef is, someone in there somewhere in a kind of an ivory tower and screaming at people or something, and it just doesn't seem accessible. And I just could not get over how every day the whole cuisine of Lyon was. And again, maybe that goes back to the initial history of it being kind of the fair of like working class. Mm-hmm. But people, and then I had there's the one bistro I mentioned, the Tetuan, and he's one of the modern chefs, and he's one of the, there's a few like stars, in Lyon of these chefs. And he is a meilleur ouvrier de France, means he's won a competition, making him one of the best chefs in France. And when you have that, you have like a designated thing you put on your lapel when you have your chef's coat on. So, mm-hmm. Everybody, it's a very formalized process. And I'm in the bistro section because he has a Michelin star restaurant. I'm on the ground floor, the bistro section, and the Michelin star restaurant is right above. So I was lucky to even get a reservation at the bistro, and I'm having this just incredible meal that you're thinking, well, what are they doing in the Michelin star place? I can't even, that's one of the meals I'll be thinking about 10 years from now. And of course I researched the place a bit, and I got really, I was worried about getting a reservation, and I think I just got in, even like, I was like, I think I reserved maybe 3 weeks in advance, and I was like, oh my gosh, I should have done it sooner. And I'm in the middle of eating, and then I'm like, is this the chef? All of a sudden the chef, he's got a big smile on his face. He comes out, and all of a sudden he's talking to these people who just arrived at the table next to me. And we're in the bistro, and I'm like, that's the guy. Cause I've seen him. I've Googled him. And I just couldn't get over it. And then he's chatting to them and he's saying, oh, I'm so happy you guys came. And it's great that you're here. And, what would you guys like as far as X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, who are these guys? They just look like, they were just regular folk. Look like they were, it's a group of retired folk. And like, I just couldn't get over it. And so my waiter came and I'm like, and I just said, is that the chef? And he's like, yeah, that's the chef. And I said, well, does this, you know, kind of happen often? I mean, what is, you know, what's going on with the kitchen? You know, does, and he's like, oh, he goes up, you know, up and down. He goes, he's here. And then he's up in the Michelin star plate. It's a Michelin star place, but then he's upstairs and he comes back and forth. So he's always like, you know, around, and he's very, you know, and then the guy goes back, the chef, and he's just smiling. Let's put the article, just smiling chef, just the most accessible, down to earth seeming, you know, I don't know him personally, but that was Lyon, you know, you're in like one of the kind of probably one of the greats in all of France. You know, France has a lot of like really nice chefs. I couldn't get over it. And last punctuation I'll put on the whole accessibility thing is I went to another excellent restaurant of all the excellent restaurants in the Hotel Dieu, which is this, you know, it's been remodeled, the one of the first hospitals in France, but it's got this amazing dome. And, you know, it's after, you know, the Duomo, and it's this huge complex and this beautiful courtyard. Again, you kind of get this Italian feeling. And you walk in there and they've got a show kitchen and you can watch the whole thing. I mean, you feel like I feel like it was a movie. Yeah, I felt like, I mean, it's huge. And they've got all the, you know, like the sous chefs, I think that's what they're called. Maybe they've got a couple apprentices there, but they've got like a team of 10 people in there. And then you've got the chef and you know, there's actually another guy above him. This is a long story, but I just couldn't believe it. You could just go stand and watch the whole thing. And everybody was just like, and every super, super professional. And you know, it's kind of like between the dining room and then on the way to the bathroom, you got the show kitchen.
Now, you also met some expats while you were there. So there is an expat presence in Lyon.
Yeah, there's definitely an expat presence. And it's one of those cities that kind of begs you, you know, begs the question if you could, you know, imagine moving from where you are. And I mean, I like to say, I mean, you know, it was a brief stay, but just like right off the bat that I got that really nice welcome and just how friendly everybody was. And so then I thought I would like check in with some of the expats and, you know, and really what's so nice is people are so great, you know, Americans when they, you know, are living, and I imagine it's the same in anywhere, Spain and, you know, Italy, Portugal, all those, you know, all over the world. And so people are super, you know, really forthcoming. And so I had one, you know, really nice evening with Beverly and Tim Christensen, and they, you know, answered all my questions. And right off the bat, I just said, is this different what I'm experiencing? You know, people seem to be really friendly here. And then they said, no, they said, this is, people are friendly. People are like definitely very friendly, and they shared some, you know, there's a lot we shared, and, you know, unfortunately not everything can, you know, get, has space to go into the article, but they just talked about, you know, their landlady helping them out, how they brought their pets over, and their neighbor downstairs has the same, you know, type of dog, and then the neighbor invited them over, and, you know, they thought it was really just nice. And he said, bring the dog. And they just couldn't believe it. Just all of these very, you know, one, helpful, two, kind, you know, responses they'd had. And then the following morning, I went to a coffee get together that they have. The American Club of Lyon has every Tuesday. Big, a large group of Americans. I kind of had to, you know, skate out halfway through. And everybody said the same thing. And some people, which I was really impressed by when I said, you know, what brought you to Lyon and why, you know, why did you end up staying? And a lot of people, their first response was the people. And I was really, you know, no, you know, of course people mentioned the food, and it was people, the friendliness of the people and the ease of transportation, that won out over a lot of French cities. And then being able to walk really everywhere.
So this is a place where you wouldn't need to have a car.
No, you wouldn't need to have a car.
A big city like that, I know, is not going to be like the ultra cheap kind of expat getaway like in the French countryside. But what is the cost of living like there?
Well, which was good, because I got, which nice, I should say, I got some good feedback for a couple different people. And they gave me about the same figures. So I would say 2,800, like on the, you know, the lower end. And as anywhere in France, you know, you're saving on transportation costs. Everybody mentioned saving on healthcare. We you know, we could have written, you know, like an entire book about that. People, you know, love, they really spent a lot of time talking about that. But there are different housing prices. So you're definitely saving. If there's a wiggle room in the budget, it would be on housing. So, The Presqu'île, which is that peninsula right in the center of Lyon, is quite the most expensive area. As I wrote in the article, it's the low-key Paris. And so you're getting this, and it's just so easy to get around. You're getting all mm-hmm. kind of the beauty and the wonder and the good food and some kind of high-end, you know, chic places and these really, you know, modern, fun cafes and this whole other kind of foodie district. Without the busyness and hurriedness and with really nice people of Paris. So that area, and it's beautiful and you're getting really nice views of the river and whatnot. That's a quite a pricey area. If you're going further out, you're doing okay. I met a couple who lives, if you kind of continue on the peninsula, there was a, can tell you exactly when, there's a point in time that the second arrondissement, that's where the Presqu'île is, stopped after a certain square. So the square of Bellecour, there was no more Lyon. And so they built up this modern neighborhood called the Confluence neighborhood, which I missed out, really, like I mentioned, didn't really scratch the surface on visiting all the areas of Lyon. Mm-hmm. And the Confluence neighborhood is an ultra modern, really cutting edge, revamped neighborhood, and it's a lot cheaper. So I talked to a couple that was living there, and there's a whole modern section. And you're talking about like lower rents, lower prices on apartments. And the other thing, just to mention briefly, if people are thinking about making the move to Lyon, if you get connected with the American Club of Lyon, they have really incredible resources to help people find places to live. Because Lyon, it's so amazing that it will be a more difficult place to find, you know, a rent or to buy something. But there were several associations and organizations, some free and some with like a minimal fee, that the club can get you connected with if you're interested in looking at housing in Lyon.
Yeah, I'd have to point out, too, that in your article, there was another breakout called What to Know Before You Go, where you gave mm-hmm. a lot of really good information, yeah. a lot of links for how to find out about how yeah. to get there mm-hmm. and what to do once you're there, mm-hmm. ways to take yeah. tours and things like that. So anyone interested should definitely check out that article. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is nice. I learned a lot, you know, kind of boots on the ground. And I think some of the information is really helpful, like reserving early for the restaurants. And again, a lot of these places are, you know, really affordable. You know, you're talking, you could have like a very nice 3-course lunch for like $28 if you didn't, you know, adding on wine if you'd like for, you know, maybe like another $8. And then the one thing I didn't mention was, just as an addition, is it's nice to dress in layers. It was not cold but the weather's changeable because you're in between the two rivers. Mm-hmm. I walked across, and you can walk everywhere, which is wonderful. I walked across the Rhone River to go all the way to the Saône River through the you know, this peninsula area. And I was, you know, in a t-shirt and sun was shining, and we got on the river. And, you know, I don't know, I think it dropped like 10 degrees, you yep. know, and that is just one thing. And I asked people too about the weather and what they thought, and nobody had a problem with it. So it's not Parisian weather and it's not south of France weather. It's a bit of a mix, but since you're in this kind of, I don't know if it's like river delta is the correct description, but the weather is a bit changeable. So I thought it was really helpful to come dressed like in layers.
The healthcare system part of your mm-hmm. article was really interesting. After living there 3 months, you have access to it?
Yeah. After living there for 3 months, you're coming over on a long stay visa, mm-hmm. Which, you know, is not a huge part of the article, but the French long stay visa isn't actually not difficult to get compared to some of the other countries, some of our other neighbors, so to speak. And the process has been, you know, streamlined. So it's even easier than it was. So you're coming over on the long stay visa. And as long as you're on the visa, you're here. France has to be your primary residence for 6 months of the year. So you're on the healthcare system and doctor's visits, and this has not changed since I've lived here since 2010. Doctor's visits are €25. So that's about like $29, $28, depends on the exchange rate.
Right.
And then when you're on the system, you're reimbursed, you get back 70% of that. So it's about $9 a doctor's visit. Specialists are €50, so I guess like 55, and then you reimburse 70% of that. Prescription drugs are reimbursed at up to 100%, and they're already very, very inexpensive, especially compared to the United States. And hospital stays are reimbursed the first month at 80%, and it's about like 100 euro a day, more or less. And then after the first month, the stay is reimbursed at 100%. Probably hard to get, wrap your head around how different it is from what I was used to, or we are used to in the States. It takes a long time. Me personally, just like let it go and accept it. The good food and the lifestyle and the pretty places. I mean, come to France for the healthcare. I mean, to be completely honest, I mean, it is a golden ticket. I can't say enough about it. You can't really beat the healthcare. Another thing is too, they're just very modern in their scheduling system. So I can schedule to see a doctor on my phone, and you can mark now if you want a English speaking doctor. Mm-hmm. So again, you're not going to have that in every kind of, a country, French countryside village and whatnot. But that is a very, very cool thing. And also, you don't have long wait times. If you have to have a procedure or something, sure, you're not going to go right away. But, a lot of times it's a nice thing. If you're in Lyon, we just have such a wealth of practitioners. Sometimes something will happen. Like I just kind of twisted my ankle, and you can go on the doctor leave. That's what it's like, doctor, free doctor. It's called, application. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get an appointment the next morning because you just see who's available. And if I have to drive an extra 10 minutes to the next city over, I mean, that's not a kind of, a big deal either. So France for healthcare is great. I've had a lot of different, experiences with the healthcare system, and you're saving. I mean, a lot of people think of France as not like an affordable country. If you don't go to Paris, or you're maybe not buying something on the, French Riviera, and you're looking at places maybe just even a little bit outside Lyon, or you're looking at somewhere in the Dordogne, you could come for like a very interesting budget to France.
We've been talking with Tula Rampon about her August 2023 article, French Cuisine and Bonhomie, an Expat's Love Letter to Lyon. Don't forget, Tula and I will both be at the Ultimate Overseas Boot Camp in Denver, Colorado this September 2nd through the 4th. You can find out more about the conference and register at intliving.com/Denver. That's intliving.com/Denver. But act fast, as time is running out. Tula, always a pleasure talking with you, and thanks again for sharing with us on Bigger, Better World.
You're very welcome. You are very welcome. Thank you so much.
The Bigger, Better World podcast is a production of International Living. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. If you have an idea for an episode or a question you'd like us to answer, email us at mailbag@internationalliving.com. And don't forget to put podcast in the subject line of your email. That's mailbag@internationalliving.com. We created Bigger, Better World to help showcase the ideas we explore at International Living each month, and grow our community of travel lovers, expats, and experts who believe, as we do, that the world is full of opportunity to create a more interesting, more international life. You don't have to be rich or famous to do that. You just need to know the secrets, and that's what we bring you at International Living. If you haven't become a member yet, you can do it today with a special discount offer for podcast listeners. You'll receive our monthly magazine plus a bundle of special extras. You'll find the link in our show notes, or you can go to intliving.com/podcast. That's intliving.com/podcast. Join us next week. We'll be talking about food again, this time a culinary tour of Madrid in Spain. Until then, this is Jim Santos for International Living, reminding you there's a bigger, better world out there just waiting for you.